Graeme, I'm going to ask you a few questions, then we'll open the lines. These are questions that farmers have sent in. There's one question from Tony Garvey, and he says, after you have drilled oats into the pasture, how do you stop sulphur-crested cockies from eating their oats? That's his first question. The second question is, what are some of the summer growing species of pasture plants you use? So we'll treat the first question first about the cockies and the oats.
Yeah, I haven't got much of an answer for the cockies. If the ground's covered, I find that it's usually okay here. We don't get that many cockatoos in south, so I don't have a great deal of experience. There is more coming as we crop more, although that's sort of a lot of crops got drowned down here. So, yeah, I don't have any answer for that. People are seeing these scare guns and things like that. I'd be trying to think of something else. So,
So in the old days, when we had planted some crops at over near the Horsham area, the farmers would say, "Oh, bag for the bag for growing, the bag for the cockies," sort of thing. So yeah, that's how that was attitude. That was in 1970. So I don't know. Maybe they don't eat as much as we think they eat.
Yeah, I wonder. I don't know. I haven't got any answers for that with the pasture plants. Hugo, what we're trying to do is get a lot more of the summer growers back in, but the summer native growers. So I like to start simply, so with the grasses that aren't so palatable, because they usually establish easier. So but we rely on natural regeneration, so we're getting kangaroo grass and red grass coming back in. And those grasses, if they're managed well, are highly palatable. You know, they'll have enough protein in them. The animals preferentially graze when they come in to our paddocks. They'll run and graze those plants, whereas if they're not managed properly, then they'll be too stale and too old and the animals won't eat them. So it's that management sort of thing, making sure that they're being utilised well. Alan Savory describes as making sure that they clean the buffet before they go on to the next one, but at the same time getting animal performance, and that requires some pretty high-level monitoring skills is what I've found for us. So, yeah, so those pasture plants, yeah, when the explorers went through, they said it was green in Feb, and that a lot of them were summer-growing grasses. I think some of the ones that I'd like to see get back, and I know they've been around, is what they call the native paspalum species, which I see a lot of. They call them warrigo and boxgrass in New South Wales, but they were through here, right through Victoria, through the whole of the state, but they seem to have sort of been eaten out. So some of those sort of species that are highly palatable, higher successional. The grass plants, there's a bit of a link in the native grasses between the seed type and how good a plant it is. As the plants get better and more palatable and sort of more resilient in the environment, they tend to have a softer seed because they were designed to germinate into mulch, not onto a hard bare soil. Whereas a lot of the ones that we've got left are they've got a drilling awn on a really sharp seed that. You know, some of the ones I'm thinking of are kangaroo grass and spear grass. So those ones are designed to sort of drill into bare ground and establish there. So they're the not-so-good grasses. So, yeah, the ones that are sort of summer-growing, what they call C4 grasses with the softer, rounder seeds would be the ones I'd be trying to get back in. So, yeah, those sort of plants.
Graeme, one thing, this is more for Tony Garvey, that the biodynamic people have a method of peppering which gets rid of foxes, possums, and rabbits, and it's just a particular method of doing that. So I'm pretty sure there is something in the area of peppering using the biodynamic system to get rid of cockies, but look, we won't talk about that. I'll just make that to mention because this CD will go out in the future and we don't want that not be brought to attention. The next question, Graeme, is from another bond. Could you ask, Graeme, if he could give an example of how to deal with onion grass over a whole year, like when to graze, how long to spell, etc.
I can't remember whether we had that slide on the DVD, but what we found was that if we got the recovery right, so the onion grass is quite a tough plant. I think that some of the others, is, you know, capeweed and thistles and horehound, and that is very, very easy to control, and you just got to grow some grass and they turn their toes up. They're a bit wimpish, those sort of plants. So, whereas onion grass sort of like land that's been, coal sites would say compacted, so it likes sort of land that's been overused, so that the grasses have been overgrazed and it's a bit compacted from that, but also areas that have been underused. So it's a bit tougher than a few of the other weeds. So we've found that we can control it, and that'll even be in sort of, weeping grass and wallaby grass type pastures, that as long as you get that litter in there, you start to change that soil surface. So I'm saying that's the sort of thing we need to learn in a small area, and sort of develop those skills, because it's not an easy one, and it sort of just needs that management to make sure that you've got very vigorous suppressive perennial grass plants that actually won't create the conditions for it. So I go and look, when I go to someone's farm, I'll go and look for that fence effect where you've got the onion grass sort of almost stopping at the fence. And say, well, what does that look like differently on the other side? And usually it's got very high vigorous perennial grasses that the root systems actually won't allow any nutrients to go to the onion grass. So it's usually a sign, most properties, of overusing the perennial grasses, but not always, was the point I was trying to make. The day before, I was over at Mount Gambier and we were talking, and there was a girl that works as a dairy consultant. She was saying, oh, that fitted with her experience, because they'd fed animals in a sacrifice paddock. They'd fed dairy heifers in a sacrifice paddock that they'd sprayed repeatedly trying to get on top of the onion grass, and now the onion grass was no longer a problem. So it had quite a lot of impact, quite a lot of animal dung and manure, but then allowed to recover so that it came back very vigorous in the perennial grasses. So that was those type of conditions.
So trying different things and monitoring and looking working on a particular area is the answer, really, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
Graeme, another question is, who wants more information about the holistic farm management system? In other words, I think that the question is, like, what sort of farmer would want to get involved or get the information on the holistic farm management system?
Yeah, I work all the way through, Hugo, from dairy sort of to cropping, to sheep, to cattle, to goats out at Cobar. So it's basically people that are managing the land and trying to make a profit and a living off it is usually the ones that I get. Also do a fair bit with the hobby farmers, or the peri-urban sort of, and I've been working with horse groups. I said yesterday that large mobs of horses are one of the best tools to regenerate native grasses, and the farmer said, oh, you've lost me now. But it's not the animals that are the problem. It's how we apply them to the soil and the land that causes the results that we get. So it's that sort of thinking. I've also been working with small business people, basically to work on sort of how do they design their business, like where do they need to put most of their effort to make the business more profitable. A lot of people know this intuitively, but it's always good to have a bit of a process to step through so that you can say, oh, okay, I actually sort of, I thought it was marketing, and it's actually that I actually don't have the product that people want, or I don't have enough resources. So we do a fair bit of that sort of work, as well as as well as sort of I've been working lately in a lot of project type work on doing environmental improvements, sort of how do we actually sort of start regenerating the grassy box woodland in New South Wales, and working on the Victorian volcanic plain. So, yeah, so, but for all types of farmers, and basically there's people that are really interested in sort of exploring the idea of how do they get profitability out of their business while reducing the risk and heading towards that low input, highly functioning land. So it's that sort of area.